Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 1238 Show. Well, thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well this evening.
Yes, this past week in the news, you may have missed some, and what to expect in the coming week is what Open Talk is all about. The latest on Trump, Biden, international news, and everything in politics. And shape our world today. Tune in and let's have a blast on the big show as we delve into hot button issues of the day. Thank you for joining the broadcast. Call in 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling in from. Please be respectful and not speak over anyone who may be on the phone with you. And most importantly, don't be disrespectful to us as hosts because you'll get hung up on. Turn off all background noises and let's have some fun. And before we start, you know, much props to June, who's been doing a great job on the website and everything, and Jerry and Brittany. Mm-hmm. So, you know, getting everything coming along together nicely. And, you know, people who I've met, you know, they're saying that, you know, the recipes is a really good thing for the website. They're really liking it and enjoying it and look forward to those recipes. Yes, so let's get delving into big business now. So as you know, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House from Louisiana, he went to Donald Trump to kiss his ring, and he came back and the House passed $95 billion for Ukraine and Israel, the aid package, and it's being sent to the Senate now, and people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, you know, the usual suspects are upset that he worked with Democrats, and it was Democrats who helped him to pass the bill in the House. So the U.S. House of Representatives yesterday, with broad bipartisan support, passed a $95 billion legislative package providing security assistance to Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan over bitter objections from Republican hardliners. The legislation precedes the Democratic majority Senate, which passed a similar measure more than 2 months ago. U.S. leaders from Democratic President Joe Biden to the past Senate Republican Mitch McConnell has been urging embattled Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson to bring it up for a vote, which he did. And the Senate is now set to begin considering the House pass a bill on Tuesday with some preliminary votes that afternoon. So final passage was expected sometime next week, which would clear the way for Biden's Senate into law officially. So the bills provide $60.84 billion to address the conflict in Ukraine, including $23 billion to replenish U.S. weapons, stocks, and facilities, $26 billion for Israel, including $9.1 billion for humanitarian needs, and $8.12 billion for the Indo-Pacific, including Taiwan. Because as we know, China is, you know, looking on Taiwan a little bit too hard in the United States, and NATO is getting a little bit bummy. You know, because Taiwan is in a prime position in terms of location. It's a strategic location. Mm-hmm. And ever since the year zero, you know, China wanted Taiwan. So Ukraine President Vladimir Zelensky expressed his thanks, saying that United States lawmakers need to keep history on the right track. And I quote, "The vital U.S. aid bill passed today by the House will keep the war from expanding, saving thousands and thousands of lives, and help both of our nations become stronger," end quote. That was Zelensky on Twitter recently. And the Biden administration is already finalizing its next assistance package for Ukraine, so it can announce a new tranche of aid soon, after the bill becomes law in order to meet Ukraine's urgent battlefield needs. So it was unclear how quickly the new military funding for Ukraine would be depleted, like causing cause for further action by Congress. And President Biden, who had urged Congress since last year to adopt an additional aid to Ukraine, said in a statement, and I quote, "It comes at a moment of great urgency, with Israel facing unprecedented attacks from Iran and Ukraine under continued bombardment from Russia." So the vote and passage for the Ukraine funding was 311-112. Significantly, 112 Republicans opposed the legislation, with only 101 supporting it. So again, Republicans doing the bidding of Donald Trump and the Russian Duma, or the Russian Parliament and Vladimir Putin. You know, Republicans, you know, don't have a stance or have no morals in terms of spreading democracy or defending democracy. They're just, you know, getting their pockets lined, and they don't really care about, you know, helping America nor our friends abroad. So what do you think about it, Lori? Would it come as a cost to Republicans?
Yeah, well, the aid for Ukraine especially is very needed, as we all know. And the other thing, the weapons and such that are going to be sent are going to be made in this country. So that within itself, you know, helps the economy, et cetera. So I liked hearing that. And also, Zelensky does need this. He has been fighting this war for over 2 years now, and he is a true patriot to his country. He is a friend to our country. He is saving democracy in that region, and I have very high praise for him, and I wish him well. I really do. He's had a few close calls from what I've read. And I hope that he continues to, you know, keep democracy going in that region of the world, and it'll spread over here as well. And then we have, of course, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene with her big mouth and her red jacket on. You know, I would like to see her go to Russia. I really would. I would love to see her just one day get on an airplane and go there and see how the Russian government is run, and see if she just will finally realize that she cannot even speak like that in that country. She would be in prison already months ago, probably a year or 2 years ago. So she went on to say, and I quote, Mike Johnson is a lame duck. He's done. Far-right Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene told the reporters. You know, she's been one of the leading opponents of helping Ukraine. And I don't really understand her logic. And I know she probably doesn't have any logic. She probably doesn't understand region and trying to save its democracy. She doesn't get that, obviously. And it's sad for that reason. And do I think that Mike Johnson is going to get recalled or impeached or however you want to put it? No, I don't. I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think the Democrats will vote for it. And I think she's become part of a minority, maybe. I'm hoping in her little MAGA group there. So we shall see what happens. But he did. Mike Johnson surprised me. He did a good thing. And like you said, David, he did go to Mar-a-Lago. He kissed Trump's ring and then came back and did a 180. And I was very surprised. Mm-hmm. So I don't know really what went on in Johnson's head, but this time he did the right thing.
Yes, indeed. And Marjorie Taylor Greene excoriates Johnson, saying that this is the third time he has betrayed the base and the crazy caucus. And do you think that Marjorie Greene wants a job as speaker?
Yes. Yes. She wants, she's the type of woman or person, because man or woman could be like this, but she's the type of person that gets off on power, gets off on being nasty, being mean to people, likes to put them down. She has no shame. She has no grace in her heart, or there's nothing about her that speaks that she has any feelings for human race. So, no, not a surprise at all. I would say if they asked her tomorrow, do you want to be speaker, she'd be up there in 5 minutes. Absolutely, yes, I do. Even though she's not qualified, she's not smart enough. She has no idea about how the government runs. Only thing she knows how to run is her mouth. That's it.
Yes, indeed. I know Mike Lawler, he's a congressman from New York. He's absolutely, disgusted with Marjorie Taylor Greene in her pushing for the ouster of Speaker Johnson. Because as far as I'm concerned, when you go through the roster of Republicans in the House, absolutely not one of them qualified to be the Speaker of the House, for various reasons, And that's pretty scary because, they're all backing Trump for the most part, and they're all listening to what Russia is saying, And, people like Mike Lawler, the congressman from New York, he's like, he can call him a bona fide conservative, who not into the whole cultist, behavior, like most of his colleagues in the House on the Republican side, hopefully it will come to fruition. We're going to get rid of Mike Johnson and Kevin McCarthy. And, the filing of the motion happened 3 weeks ago. And everybody ignored it, basically, let's just hope good sense prevails, because if Marjorie Taylor Greene think that, she's trying to write up the base of the Republican Party, that's all well and good, but, nothing is being done when we don't have a Speaker of the House set, an agenda of what bills need to be looked at, what they get an up and down vote, move the business of government forward, and it just shows how incompetent they are, and it just, lack of caring. It shows lack of caring or compassion. People out there are suffering. And it's not Joe Biden's fault. It's just what's happening in the world in terms of inflation, stagflation, all those things. And I want to point a thing at Joe Biden, saying, oh, it's Biden's fault, look at the prices of gas. But no, according to, I took some gas recently, and it was very low. So I guess Trump may get the praise because of these people. Like, yeah, look at that, gas prices low now. Thank you, Trump. But Trump has nothing to do with it. Joe Biden as president has nothing to do with gas prices or inflation. So these people are real stupid and need to be out of office, be voted out, because, they have no business being in government. If you are a small government, stay home. You don't know what you're doing, Republicans. you're just an embarrassment, you know, appalling, disgusting, disgraceful. You can put all the adjectives in there you want.
Yeah. You know, and I kind of think that maybe some of the Republicans that are not, you know, MAGA Republicans are really tired of the rhetoric and all the hatred and the division. There might be some in there that are just counting the days when they can just be out of there. I know working in an environment like that on a daily basis, trying to, you know, pass bills for the country's good. And, you know, you have people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and, you know, that whole group there that only want to divide the country more than it already is. And they are not good for the country. They need to go. They really do need to go. The other thing mentioned is that the package also had they're threatening to ban and for that reason there might be quite a few people in this country that are going to be very upset, and they're not banning what they want TikTok to do is to sell because I guess China owns it, and they want it to someone in this country to buy it, so that the influence from China cannot be here. And I understand that part, but there are a lot of people on TikTok that do business on TikTok, and it may really hurt them. So I don't know how they're going to do this, and how it's going to work out. But President Biden is going to sign this bill because he has to sign it because of the Ukraine package. And they shoved that TikTok bill and ban it. And I hope that they don't – I hope that people understand that they put that in there. And it's part of the bill. And President Biden has to sign it as – even though it is part of the bill, he can't take that part out and try to negotiate it differently. So that's going to be a bumpy ride for a while until they get that figured out.
Yes, and Congressman Bob Good, he is chairman for the Republicans, the House Freedom Caucus, or as I call them, the Crazy Caucus. He claims that it's a slide down into the abyss of greater fiscal crisis, and America's last policies reflect Biden and Schumer and Jeffries, and don't reflect the American people. I guess, you know, he is just including his base, you know, because American people from time and time again, you know, on polls, and we talk one-on-one with the neighbors and friends and family, we all agree that we need to help Ukraine, because, you know, no country is it's disrespectful to invade a foreign country. We put Saddam in his place and did that with Kuwait. And, you know, if we don't help Ukraine and he overtakes Ukraine, who next? Poland, Germany, you know, the Baltic states, you know, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, who, you know? And so, you know, good sense have to prevail, you know? So I don't know what games these Republicans playing, but you know, they're going to be on the losing side of history. And they just look foolish. They defend, you know, a maniacal, you know, pathologically mendacious person like Trump, who, you know, can't put two sentences together and shits his pants when, you know, he's making a rally speech and, you know, he's farting up, you know, fart bombing the courtroom. I mean, the courtroom has need fumigation. Jesus Christ. I can't even imagine his lawyers, you know, wearing gas masks. You know, I mean, you want him as president. You know, imagine world leaders coming to the White House to meet him, and he's just farting on place. You know, you're having a state dinner, and he's farting on place, shit his pants. Yeah, it's appalling, atrocious. So I have a little picture, you know, this Republican strategist saying that, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is just there to cause chaos and confusion. And, you know, all well and good, cause chaos and confusion, but what's your solution, Marge? What's your solution, Matt Gaetz, whomever? Nothing. Just cause confusion and chaos.
Yeah, they have no solution.
Yeah.
They're just there to cause, you know, frustration, you know, division, hatred, you know, all the. That's what they're there for.
Very dense and, people. Very dense people.
Yeah.
So we're going to pause after the step.
Is now calling on GOP Speaker Mike Johnson to resign. And today she is threatening to introduce a motion to vacate his speakership if he doesn't step down.
Trump has betrayed America. He's betrayed Republican voters. Under his leadership, he's passed the Democrat agenda, passed the Biden administration's policies, and fully funded them. We're going to fight in Congress to do everything we can to stop this type of uniparty leadership. Mike Johnson's speakership is over. He needs to do the right thing to resign and allow us to move forward in a controlled process.
Yeah.
If he doesn't do so, he will be vacated.
The Georgia hardliner is one of at least three Republicans who have said they will support a move to oust Johnson, whose majority is so slim he can't afford to lose any Republicans on a party line vote. Should Green and her supporters make good on their threat to force a vote on ousting him as Speaker, Johnson will almost certainly need to rely on Democrats to bail him out.
I want to ask you about Mike Johnson and his prospects and whether he can hold on to his job, because, Alice, he angered a lot of Republicans by bringing forward particularly this Ukraine bill, which he had opposed for so long. Marjorie Taylor Greene, rather surprisingly yesterday, said she wasn't immediately bringing this motion to vacate forward. She wanted lawmakers to hear from their constituents, but she has called on him to resign. So how much of a threat is what Johnson did in terms of allowing those votes yesterday a threat to his speakership?
Look, her threat is to Congress getting things done. She is such a self-serving member of Congress. This is all about her fundraising, her getting attention. She's causing chaos and confusion. The problem is she doesn't have the army to back her up. And the frustrating part of all of this is she talks about putting forth this motion to vacate. She didn't put forth a plan. She has not put forth an alternative. If she really had the balls to do this, she would have done this before this big vote yesterday and put her money where her mouth is, and she is certainly not doing this. My hat's off to Speaker Johnson. While she's playing Real Housewives of Georgia, throwing up tables, he threw this to prayer. He prayed on this. He put this in God's hands, and thank goodness in this case, God won here, and he's not putting out a fundraising letter like Marjorie Taylor Greene is.
Do you think that the Democrats, should it come to that, that they should try to rescue him? I mean, this was a rare and remarkable show of bipartisanship, getting this $95 billion approved for Israel, Ukraine, and the Indo-Pacific.
Democrats will always do what's in the best interest of the country. And Democrats, the majority of Democrats, have always supported money for Ukraine because we know that that's in the best interest of our national security and, frankly, for the survival of democracy worldwide. The sad part of what is happening, and I get that so many people are giving kudos, even Democrats, to Speaker Johnson, but that is how low the bar has become for a Republican Speaker of the House to do his freaking job. This could have been done back in October if Mike Johnson had had the wherewithal and the spine to do it. Now he's done it 6 months later while Ukraine has lost so much on the battlefield. But yes, thank goodness we are where we are now. And with the help of Democrats, Speaker Johnson has finally been able to do his job. Democrats will continue to do what's right for the country. And in the future, if this means coming to his saving, if Marjorie Taylor Greene does put this on the floor, we'll see. If that occurs, again, it speaks to just how low the Republican congressional leadership has gone in terms of losing control of their own caucus. And if Democrats do have to come to his aid, I don't think it's going to be for free. I think it's going to be for some kind of power sharing or something that, again, will benefit the country because Democrats are always going to do what's in the best interest of America. I think it's...
Yes, so you heard the clip right there from CNN. 515-605-9802, say your first name, where you're calling from. Three people hauling, and we put them through one at a time. Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? Hello, Elaine from Michigan.
What about the other two?
Oh, yeah, I bring them in time, you know, one at a time. We don't want to get overwhelmed here.
Oh, I don't have anything right now.
Okay, so let's welcome the other two callers from 336 error code and 541 error code. Welcome to the show, callers.
Hi, how you doing?
How you doing?
I just want to ask you, what is in, how does supporting Ukraine in, you know, in the best interest of the United States? And second question is, how does it confer with the Constitution? It's totally unconstitutional. That's my comment on that. But those are my two questions to you.
No, well, because they're an ally, and if Russia overtakes Ukraine, then, you know, there's what, who next? They're going to try to invade, you know, Germany, you know, our allies, you know, Poland, and other countries in nearby, you know, vicinity, you know, so we're defending our allies, you know, and it's not unconstitutional. Why is it unconstitutional?
Well, but where does it say in the Constitution that we're supposed to support and financially support foreign wars? That's totally unconstitutional.
Well, ask
George W. Bush
when he invaded Iraq. Ask George W. Bush when he invaded Iraq.
I agree 100%. That was unconstitutional, yes.
But this is a little different because we know that Ukraine is a democracy. They are trying to defend their democracy. They do not want to be taken over by Russia. It's really not a difficult concept to understand. It really isn't.
They're a democracy? Well, if they're a democracy, then by God, we should definitely not support them because we're a republic, and a democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
No, we're not going into that again. We are... They can be a republic. They can be a democracy. We are going to defend that. And that's all that there is to it. You're not going to just cut things into pieces with a word because you're not going to be able to argue with that. There's no argument about that.
Well, let me ask you then. What is America? What is America then? What do you think America is? Are we a republic or a democracy?
And it's a democracy. What is democracy? Tell me what a democracy is. Because you're always talking about this. What is a democracy?
Okay. A democracy is where you have the majority rules. It's a two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. We're the minority. Always rules.
When it comes to voting, we are a democracy when it comes to voting in Congress and in Senate because they go onto the floor and they talk about the laws that they want to pass done in an orderly way. And it goes
jury?
By vote. It goes
How about
by
a jury
vote?
In a courtroom? How about a jury in a courtroom?
Nothing
How about
wrong.
A jury in
Look,
a court? That's an example of a republic.
Hold on one second. We are not going to get off the beaten path. We're not going to do that this evening. You asked a question. We answered it. Now we're going to move on.
Well, you asked me a question. That's what I was doing. I was answering your question. That's
it
all.
It has nothing to do with the jury all of a sudden. A jury has nothing to do with Ukraine. Okay? The people in the Congress, in the Senate, in the House, and in the Senate, the people in the House, the representatives in the House voted to pass that bill. They thought it was
$95 billion. Don't you think that we could use that here in America? You don't think that we have problems here in America?
Excuse me, I'm talking. Excuse me. Thank you. Now, they voted, passed the bill. They think it's in the best interest of America. And now it's going to go to the Senate. They will debate it in the Senate. And if it passes in the Senate, then fine. They can have the money. And I am with them because I want Ukraine to survive and not be taken over by Russia. That's what I would like to see. And you know what goes on in Russia if you've been paying attention.
Sorry, can I ask him a question?
Sure you can.
Who invaded Ukraine?
Well, first of all, Russia did, yes. They attacked Ukraine,
okay. Why did they invade Ukraine? Ukraine was peacefully taking care of business, and Russia is the bully.
Okay, where do you get this? Where do you get the... Okay, what facts are you presenting to me on this?
Did Russia invade Ukraine?
Well, tell me, why did they invade them? Why did they?
No reason for it. Was there? Was Ukraine invading Russia? Yes or no?
No, no, Ukraine did not attack Russia. No, we all know
Russia attacked a peaceful country. Do you want boots on the ground? You want Russia to take over Ukraine and Poland and Germany, etc., etc.?
Of course not. Ukraine is not a NATO ally.
Is that what you want? It was okay for us to be in Afghanistan. Since Russia wants to take over Ukraine, you red hatters don't want Ukraine to get any help. Why are you for Russia? Are you a Russian agent? You sound like a Russian agent.
Why? Yeah. Why? Because I don't want to spend our money over in a foreign country in support of foreign war. I don't pick sides.
To spend our money in Afghanistan, wasn't it?
Did I say that it was okay? Why did you bring up Afghanistan? I didn't bring up Afghanistan.
We spent our money in Afghanistan. Where was your mouth then? We had no business in Afghanistan. We had no business in Iraq.
That's right. We didn't. You're absolutely correct.
Russia is a bully invading a country that was peaceful. So we are helping our neighbor.
They're not our neighbor. They're not a NATO ally.
Where the sun don't shine.
They're not a NATO ally.
But, Joe,
Because Trump got out of NATO. That's why. Otherwise, there would have been a NATO ally.
Exactly.
Yeah, Joe, they're invited to join NATO, but Vladimir Putin said that, you know, he feels insecure that, you know, a NATO ally will be under border, you know, and so that's his justification for invading. And for centuries now, they have, you know, Russian-speaking Ukrainians, and of course, Ukraine is part of the former Soviet Union. You know, so the interchange and what have you, but that doesn't give Russia the right to say, here what, your country is part of Russia. We're trying to build this new Russian empire bigger than the Soviet Union was. You know, because that's what Hitler did. He was trying to, like, you know, expand the Reich, you know, and...
Hang on a second here. They don't want chemical. Listen, there's a lot more to this story that's being told. Ukraine isn't this innocent little buffer between Ukraine and the West, okay? There's a lot more going on to this, and there's a lot more history to this. Unfortunately, we're not going into all that, okay? Ukraine is not all that innocent, okay? And Russia is trying to protect its borders also, okay? Now, think of it from Russia's side of things.
You know, if Russia were blown off the map, nobody would care. I don't care. Absolutely don't care. Putin is an evil dictator. Do you want that in this country? Is that what you want?
And so is Kyiv and Zelensky. Ukraine is not so innocent. But I don't care either way about Russia or Ukraine. I care about America. America first. Okay?
I do care about America. And I believe that Ukraine is our ally. And also, we should be supporting them because, like I said, and like David said, and like Elaine said, do you want Russia to take over all the other European countries that do not have the means to take care of themselves? Do you want to put our young soldiers at risk? Because that means boots on the ground. So you better think a little bit forward before you start worrying about 90-some billion dollars. And plus, Ukraine is not getting 90-some billion dollars, by the way. That's not all the money that they're getting. They're getting less than that. And
this
also,
is all staged.
Do you realize that that $90 billion doesn't leave America?
It's a paper transfer,
and then it comes back to our military manufacturers that manufacture the military equipment. So the money is staying here in the United States. So figure it out.
Yeah, so we are manufacturing guns, et cetera.
All right, so Joe, America first. America first. Democrats tried to put America first by having that border bill that Trump and Republicans killed. They worked on it for many weeks, I think 12 weeks. The United States Senate from Oklahoma. You know, they worked night and day, worked with Democrats. And what did they do? Vote against their own bill.
So, I mean,
okay, we're successful border crisis now. That's what you want to talk about, the border crisis now? I mean, I'm just getting a little confused. Is that what you're asking me now? You want?
No. There's not a border. No, I'm saying that, you know, you brought up putting America first, and that's what Democrats and Republicans, Senator Langford did, working with Senator Schumer, and Republicans voted against their own bill because of what Trump said and did and threatened them. How is Donald Trump putting America first?
Well, the border bill that you're talking about centralized power in Washington, D.C., and took away that power from the border control and the border agents and states' rights and states' individual powers. That's what's in the bill.
It's a border to the country, Joe, not a border to the states.
Yeah.
But states have, but states are sovereign. States have the right.
They're not sovereign. They're part of a union, Joe. They're not sovereign. They're part of a union. There's no thing such as United States of America. That's why one of the reasons why the Civil War is fought. You know?
Yeah.
There's no state sovereignty. That's one of the reasons why the war.
Let's move on.
So you're telling me states don't have a right to individual sovereignty? The states don't have rights, you're telling me.
No, they do not. Not
so the federal government has all supreme power over the states, you're saying?
Oh,
yes.
God.
Yes.
That's the way our government works. Where have you been?
Okay, Eugene, Oregon, hello. Okay, I guess Oregon person shy. Hello, Oregon, welcome to the show. What's cooking? Yeah, this is your time now, Oregon. Okay, I guess the shine speaking. So let's bring on another caller. Hello, caller from 352 Air Code. What's cooking? Okay, I guess nobody talking. Okay,
no,
Lori, so what's
up? I'm here, but I didn't know if that was my area code or not. I'm Kathy from Florida.
Oh, hi, Kathy.
Kathy from Florida. Hello, Kathy. How are you doing?
Hey, fine. How are you guys tonight?
Good.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question for the brain surgeon you're talking to on the phone right now.
Okay.
Why did Republicans, at Trump's order, kill this new border policy?
Well, I'd have to go back and look and read the bill, but from my understanding, it was it took a centralized power in Washington, D.C., and gave them the ultimate final decision on the migrants.
No. Absolutely. That's not true.
Like I said, I don't have the bill in front of me. It's been a couple months now, so.
Think about this for 1 minute, Joe. Joe, think about this. Think about this logically. A few Republicans and a few Democrats worked on this bill together. They came to a consensus, all right? It wasn't just the Democrats that wrote this bill. It was the Democrats and the Republicans. They worked together. They came together with the best border bill that they thought would pass, right? And then your almighty orange man, Trump, who is tomorrow going to be in court. We'll get to that pretty soon. But he, not even probably seeing the bill, knowing what's in the bill, he probably can't read the bill, he probably can't understand the bill, told them to kill it. Why did he tell them to kill it? I'll tell you why. He told them to kill it so that it would cause more chaos. And the more chaos that he can cause, then they say, oh, it's Biden's fault, which is not.
Exactly.
There you
again,
go.
I don't remember what the bill too much. It's been a couple months, so I'd have to take your word for it.
You're not understanding the whole point. The whole point is they worked on a bill together, Democrats and Republicans. They came together. They put a bill forward. Biden said he would sign it, no matter what. He said he would sign the bill.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
And then Trump, what did Trump do? Kill the bill. And what did they do?
Can I ask you a question?
The bill.
Does it really matter, Republican or Democrat, what's best for the American people and the country?
In this bill, it matters. Because I am trying to explain to you that the two parties work together to come.
I understand that. And that's rare.
And
I understand
they
that.
They work together. And why was he against this bill? He's not in the government.
I don't know.
He's not the president. He's a man. He's a citizen of the country.
Well, he has quite a following. He has quite a following, and he has constituents. So you can't, you know.
His following, listen to me. His following does not control our government, okay? The people that are elected that are working there right now
control
our government.
Hang on, Lori. They have a say, though, just like you have a say and I have a say.
No, they do not have a say.
Sorry, I got a question. I got another question.
So we don't have a say in our government.
I got another question for this brain surgeon. Can you explain to me why the Border Patrol, the people that are on the front lines of the border, begged President of the United States, Joe Biden, to sign that bill when it passes? Explain that.
Again, I don't know. I'm taking your word for it. I don't know. I'm ignorant of this subject, so I don't know.
If you don't know,
if it was a disaster, answer that question.
Yes.
Why would the Border Patrol
I can't answer the question. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not going to give you a lie. I'm not going to lie to you, and just because I'm going
to
take a stand, I'm going
to
tell you the truth.
It's time to move on.
In other words,
you're
going to take a redhead.
Yeah, I thought we were talking about Ukraine. Yeah, I thought we were talking about Ukraine and everything.
In other words, you're going to call this program and take a redhead stand so that we can't get the facts out.
You were talking about Ukraine. I'm staying on topic. You went off topic.
Oh, no, I did not go off topic. I asked you a question. Why did the Border Patrol say to Joe Biden when they passed this bill, I will make sure you sign it. We need the help. We need the help at the border. But no, your orange monster stuck his nose in and told Marjorie Taylor Greene and the rest of them to kill the bill.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay.
Joe, listen.
This is what you have to understand. We're basically all on the right side. We all want the border to be fixed. We all want this country to thrive. We all want the people to work in this country and make money in this country. But there are too many people right now that are trying to destroy everything that America was and is right now.
I agree.
Okay. So can't we just agree that Trump called up whoever he called. I don't know who he called. He probably called Johnson and told Johnson, kill the bill. Because he knew that would cause trouble. He knew that we'd be arguing about it like we are right now. And he could
If what you're saying is true, I will agree with you. I'm not arguing with you. But this other guy's jumping down my throat, you know.
Okay, so let's just move on. Let's move on.
I agree.
Let's move on.
Thank you.
All right. David, what do you want to go to next, David?
Okay, so the next thing then we're going to talk about is, seven big issues at stake in the 2024 election, like abortion. Mm-hmm. You know, abortion is a human right, you know, where if a woman is raped by a relative or she, you know, can die because being pregnant and giving birth, then she has a right, you know, because it's her body, her choice. So other big issues that, you know, come up really, you know, we talk about that.
Okay, that's fine. And the first big issue, of course, is abortion. And women are up in arms over this issue. There is no reason in this world that anyone should be able to tell a woman what she can do with her body and be done with that story right now. And I can tell you, because of this, women are going to come out to vote, and they're going to vote for President Biden only on this issue, because it is unfair, inhumane, to have a woman be told what to do with her body. And I don't want any sort of religion brought into it, because it has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the doctor, the woman is pregnant, and maybe the person that she had relations with to make that decision.
What about the unborn child? It has nothing to do with that, the unborn child?
No.
Here we go with Joe again. All right, Joe, when are you going to get a vasectomy? Let me mess with
body. Why are you mixing apples with oranges?
When are you going to get a vasectomy? Answer yes or no. Answer, tell me when. When do you get the vasectomy?
What does that have to do with abortion? What does that have to do with killing a child?
When do
the
you
child
get
is not
permit?
Already born.
When
the
do
child,
you get a bisectomy?
When men can start carrying children.
My body, no way. When do you get a bisectomy? You're so goddamn
when men,
worried about a
when
about
men
a fetus.
Carry children for 9 months to term.
A fetus.
No one does that. Okay.
Exactly.
And no one is not a chicken.
A murderer.
A fetus
Nobody
not a baby.
That. It's not how it works, Joe.
There's no human right for that child. I'm just asking a question. Is there any human right for that child? That child has no human rights defense whatsoever, you're saying.
It is
no,
not
Joe. That's a fetus, not a baby.
Not a fetus. It's not a fetus.
It's not a chicken.
It is a fetus.
It's
a
baby.
Not a baby.
It's a baby and a human being with a heartbeat.
Look it up. No. Absolutely wrong.
Look it up. It's science.
Look it up. It's, yeah.
we see what science has done to mankind. It hasn't cured anything.
Science has done nothing to mankind. Science has helped mankind. Okay? And you know what really aggravates the crap out of me? You want to hear it? I will tell you. All these men in government now want to stop women, want to tell women what to do with their bodies. But you know, you can see an advertisement on television for Viagra. You can buy it online. And you can also contact the doctor online and get a prescription. And you know how much they cost per pill? 79 cents for the blue pill. Now, how is that fair? How is that fair? It's not.
I mean, I'll agree with you on that. That's fine. You know,
okay.
I mean, that's not a problem.
So listen to me, Joe. So this is exactly what we're talking about. So if that blue pill, if the government said, you know what, guys, no one can have that blue pill anymore. None of you can have Viagra anymore. Nope, there's no reason you can have Viagra anymore.
You know, I don't think government should be in the job anyway of the abortion business anyway.
Okay, thank you very much for saying that, because government is right now in the woman's womb. Get it? That's the problem.
Yeah, but
Joe.
We elect representatives, so you
That's
can't say it's a
woman-only
issue, because we elect men to make decisions and women. So, you know, we have a government where we elect leaders, to make laws.
It doesn't matter. I said anyone in the government. It's mainly the men. Because when you read the articles, it's mainly the men that are really, really lighting the fire, okay? For what reason, I don't know. For popularity,
I don't know either.
But what I'm trying to tell you, Joe, is that if they took that blue pill and said, you know what? The House and the Senate said, no more. That blue pill can't be sold anymore. Not online. You can't get that blue pill anymore. And no man can get that blue pill anymore. They would be up in arms. Up in arms.
I agree with you. I agree.
Well, then look at the other side. What about women? They're being told they can't have an abortion if for no reason whatsoever. Really? No, that isn't how this is not how government should not be involved at all. Like I said,
think you're right. I think you're absolutely correct. They should not be involved. You're absolutely correct.
Let's move on to the next one, David. We just said we're
okay.
Agree.
All right. Texas.
Okay. Texas. Sure. How about that tonight? It's got to be a miracle, right?
It's
okay,
a miracle.
Texas.
Let's
look at taxes. People, let's look at taxes. So Trump in 2017, tax cuts expire at the end of next year, which is 2025, and he has called for extending them. So Joe Biden has called for raising taxes on families earning over $400,000 to fund various priorities. A series of Trump tax cuts, which Republicans passed on a party-line basis in 2017, is going to expire at the end of 2025. And Congress and the winners of the election will decide what happens to them. So do you think that, you know, the Trump tax cuts should be renewed, or do you think that anybody making over $400,000 a year should pay their fair share of taxes? What do you all think?
Well, what do you think is a fair share? What do you think is a fair share? Because I'm going to be honest with you. When I made over $120,000 about five years ago, I got hit, banged in the head with $36,000 in a tax bill. So my tax bracket jumped. You know, so, I mean, I do think rich people, I mean, I don't know what, for 500,000 or a million, I don't know about that. So I'm a little, you know, like I said, but I know where I was in my bracket and I was getting taxed too much.
Right. Okay. Now let's think about it this way now, Joe. Why is it that these corporations and these billionaires don't pay anything? Why? Why is it that we and you pay more taxes than them? Think about that. Isn't your
government? I don't like it at all. You're right.
You? Isn't that, aren't the Republicans working against you? Yes, they are. Because President Biden wants to tax the corporations in a minimum, I think he said 15%. Am I right, guys? Tell me. I don't remember at this moment.
No. He backed it from 21% to 28%.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he wants to raise the taxes on the billionaires and the corporations, and people that are making $400,000 a year, they could probably afford to pay a little more in taxes. That's a lot of money. But I agree with you. $100,000, $120,000, that's not a whole lot of money in this economy right now. And you shouldn't be paying $30,000. But maybe you didn't have deductions.
Yeah.
But maybe you didn't have deductions. Okay, there's, you know, and they get all of that. They get all the deductions. They get all of that. So the Republicans, once again, what are they doing? They are not taxing the rich, and they're taxing the middle class and the poor who really run the economy. And what are they buying? What are the rich?
What I'm afraid of is when you start taxing these corporations, they're going to move out of this country, and then
they
we're screwed, you know?
Ever. No, not going to happen. Never. Never.
But no, they're paying no taxes. But sure, they're paying no taxes or little taxes now, but they're still moving to third world countries, developing countries.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
And Joe Biden for the past 3 or 4 years has been, you know, bringing them back with tax incentives, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know? Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. You see what I'm saying? If it, you know, you take that away and then, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
I mean, you know, you take that away, what the gentleman was just talking about right there, tax incentives, and you start taxing these corporations, you know, they're going to move back, you know, they'll start moving to China, they'll start moving to other countries, you know, and means we lose jobs.
That costs money. You have to remember that. That costs money. That costs money to do that. They don't like to spend their money too much. They like giving it to themselves, and, you know, they like buying their yachts, and they like buying all their little goodies.
Oh, yeah, they sure do.
Well, that's what, see, Joe. We're kind of on the same side, aren't we? Aren't we?
When it comes to those issues, sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right, David, let's move on.
Okay, trade. Donald Trump is pushing for a 10% increase on border tariffs on imports, especially from China. But Biden is opposed to it, saying that it would raise inflation. And Trump, along a skeptic of U.S. trade deals, has proposed a 10% tariff on all imported goods if he returns to the White House. So he recently told Fox News that he could it could be 60% or potentially even higher on imports. I think it's silly on the part of Donald Trump to try to raise tariffs, because that's where fuel inflation. You know, and Biden opposed the idea in a memo over the weekend. He said at the White House, he slammed the idea of across-the-board tariffs that would raise taxes prices by $1,500 per American family. So, you know, the Center for American Progress, a liberal think tank, said that Trump 10% tax on imports would cost an average American household $1,500 per year. You know, so Biden instead has sought to boost domestic manufacturing with major federal investments in semiconductor and electrical vehicles. You know, so, you know, Biden is thinking ahead, and he is making moves to invest in semiconductors and electrical vehicles, because let's face it, electrical vehicles are the way of the future, as, you know, countries around the world, especially in Europe, are phasing out gas-fueled cars, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, the former President Trump would be making a huge mistake if he raises tariffs. You know, what's your thoughts on that?
I don't think we need to phase out gas vehicles. I think they should be an option. You should be allowed to drive gas or electric. Have the person have the choice.
Well, that's what a hybrid is. That's what a hybrid is. A hybrid is that. You use gas and use electric. And like we said before, like last week on the show, we talked about this, and we said that our infrastructure is not caught up to, is not advanced enough because there's not enough charging stations. But they're working on it. But they're working on it. They will do it. They know that they need it. And that, what does that do? Create jobs. It'll bring down the price of the electric cars. Once people start being able to afford them, people will buy them, just like they bought gas vehicles. It's going to be the same. And we're going to be saving our environment. We'll be able to breathe without masks. Our children and grandchildren will be able to breathe. And they will have better jobs and more in a clean and clean environment. And from that, you know, they're building 600 factories in the country for batteries right now. 600 factories. You know how many jobs that's, and they're high paying jobs. Those are high paying jobs.
Yeah, that's fine if it works. Yeah, that's fine if we catch up. I absolutely agree with you there. But with the global economy and everything, China is not taking any type of measures to clean up the environment. I mean, they're just pumping that crap right into the atmosphere.
Yeah, I understand, but we can't do anything about them.
I got a question here. That was Trump that rolled back all the regulations.
Yes.
Nobody but Trump.
Yes. And he was saying he also is the drill baby drill guy, you know, which is so old and antiquated. It's like coal. You know, we know that coal is no longer needed in this country. You know, and drill baby drill is not going to work. It's not for the future. We have to think of the future of this country. You know, we're all going to die, but the next generation is going to need clean air, clean water. They're going to need all this. They're going to need electric cars, hybrid cars. They're going to need it all because we cannot keep going the way that we are.
I just don't like to be one side or the other. They make you choose. You know, I just don't like to hear the people say electric only. You know, you can't do that right now. You just can't because there's just no way. We're not there.
No, I agree. And what we're saying is as they build, you know, more charging stations and, you know, and more people are more comfortable buying an electric car because they see the charging stations going up, you know, being built, then they'll buy an electric car. Then the prices of those cars will come down. You know, and if you think our cars right now are cheap, they're not. Gas cars are not cheap. They're not.
No, they're not. I mean, no, I agree with you. They're not.
No. My daughter paid $30,000 for a Kia because she needed a bigger car. $30,000.
Right.
Her
That's
car payment is over $800 a month.
Yeah,
that's
it's
a rent.
It's insane. You know,
and,
so.
Yeah.
She's got three babies and another one on the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous, and she pays $500 a month through Duke Energy down here.
Yeah, that's just
insane.
What is Duke
Duke
Energy
has a monopoly. Duke Energy here in North Carolina has a monopoly on the power grid, and they just basically can set any price they want, and we have to pay it.
Are they
a
private company?
I belong to a co-op here called SECO.
Okay.
Sumter Electric Company. We're all...
are they private companies, though? Are they privately owned, like a corporation? Are they privately owned?
Sumter Electric Company, so it's out of Sumter County here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a co-op, so if you belong to that electric company, I mean, we even get rebates back when they make a profit.
Okay, so it's different than
my bill's $131 a month. And my daughter pays through Duke Energy almost $500. And tell me that.
Oh, I know. Ridiculous.
That's crazy. So what your daughter must have is it's not federally regulated. Like here, we have GTE Energy, and that's going up. Don't get me wrong. But when they want an increase, they have to ask for it. They just can't do it. They have to ask for an increase, and it goes through some board or something.
Yeah, they ask for it, right? They ask for it, but they're donating to all the politicians, you know?
Yeah. I don't think it has to do with the politicians. I think there's a board that takes care of it. I'm not sure how it works, but They don't always.
Well, the guy I ran against, Lori, check this out. The guy I ran against got a $2,500 contribution from Duke Power. So the guy that I ran against. So I just don't like that.
That happens every day. Every politician gets money from billionaires and people that have their interest in what they want. That happens all the time. Mm-hmm. That's got to be cleaned up as well. But that's
got to be cleaned up.
Exactly. Right.
So in terms of foreign policy and NATO, Biden favors Ukraine aid while Trump is skeptical of it, and Biden supports NATO and a traditional view of American power, while Trump and Republicans have criticized NATO and voiced some isolationist views. We don't know from past experiences that isolationism don't work. You know, that's so 1980s. Yeah. Pat Buchanan was an isolationist. You know, it didn't work. That's why he's not president. He was never a nominee. So the clearest example of a foreign policy difference between the two concerns is the fate of Ukraine, which is running low on ammunition. Thank God that bill was passed, and it's gone to the Senate now. And it says that United States assistance to continue holding off Russia's aggression. Biden is an ardent proponent of helping Ukraine, while Trump has poured cold water on the United States and Ukraine and successfully pressured House Republicans to block it since they took the majority in 2023. So the thing is, there's a deeper divide. Biden is an outspoken supporter of NATO alliance as a bulwark against adversaries like Russia and China and of preserving the post-World War II order. Trump, on the other hand, has dialed up his criticism of NATO and aligned with a growing isolationist wing in the United States that wants to be less involved in global affairs. And Trump recently said that, you know, as president, he would encourage Russia to do whatever the hell they want. No American president in history since 1917, you know, ever trusted Russia. So why is Trump, you know, so acting like a little bitch towards Russia and Putin? You know why? Because he has, you know, because Putin has secrets for him. You know?
I don't know about that. Russian, no, the whole Russian collusion thing was blown out of the water, you know?
No, it wasn't, Joe. No. It's
there was
true.
Nothing, there was no evidence of it. There was no evidence of it. They even admitted it. I mean, you know, I mean, there wasn't. What could that Russia have possibly done to help Trump or coincide with Trump? I mean, why didn't Putin attack Ukraine and why while Trump was president if they were so in bed together?
Because he wanted to look like Donald Trump keeps his thumb on him and prevents him, because that's what Donald keeps saying. Oh, if I was president, this would never happen. Of course not. He would have just said, help yourself. He told them if NATO other countries wants to attack him, feel free. He said that out loud on television in front of all of America. And people heard him. Listen to what he said. Yeah. So that's okay. We could just build another, Soviet Union and make ourselves no longer a world power. We give it to Putin. Putin likes Trump because Trump lets him do whatever the fuck he wants. Biden doesn't. Yeah, so that's a good thing?
No.
We want them? We want Soviet Union back? We want them to be another world power? That we go down to third after China and Russia? Good plan.
And
I'm not for it.
And, Joe, how do you know that Trump and Putin weren't in collusion? I mean, they had that secret meeting where he wouldn't allow anybody in. It was just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you know they are in collusion? How do you know they are?
Well,
it's
we're
pretty
not
much nobody knows for sure, but it's pretty obvious who he supports, and it's not America.
Somebody does.
Well, I can't say Trump is against America. Come on.
No, please.
Somebody does one way or the other. Somebody
he
does
says
well.
It loud and clear every day.
Then why do
he's against America?
Russia can do what the hell they want? They can invade who in the hell they want. Why did Trump make that statement if he's not a collusion and not a political bed partner with Russia?
If he really
loves...
All right, Joe, I'm waiting for an answer. You know, so far tonight, you haven't answered one of my questions.
Well, you're making comments, not questions. And second of all, why didn't Putin invade anything while Trump was president? You say because they were looked like that doesn't make any logical sense. You just, you know, it doesn't.
That makes no logical sense. You're speculating that that's what, why, you know, they didn't invade Ukraine during Trump's presidency.
Can I ask something, Joe?
Right.
Joe, can I ask something?
These red yarders, you can't talk to them.
What is it? Well, yeah, Joe's been doing pretty good tonight. I'm kind of impressed. What is it about Trump? I mean, we talked about the taxes. We've talked about abortion. We kind of came to a little bit of a agreement there, you know, and the blue pill, you know, a little bit about Ukraine. What is it about Trump that you support? Why do you support a man that seriously, I mean, have you gone into his background? Have you read anything about him?
Well, he has a messed up background. I agree. He has a messed up background, and I agree with you.
And he's a narcissist. He does not care about his family. He does not care about his kids. He's never been to one of his children's graduations. Do you know that? And that's just the way he is. He does not care. So what makes you think that he cares about the American people? He does not. He doesn't care about us. He cares about the billionaires. Sure he does, because he wants to get what he wants off of them, you know, just like the $175 million, that's going to get revoked because the guy that he got that money from is as bad as Trump. He is a loan shark, a bad and a mean, he's got a bad reputation, let's put it that way, as a loan shark. And yes, he's a billionaire. But so what?
Millionaire.
So if you're a billionaire, you're a good person? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. You know? So these are... So we have
ahead,
to
I'm
think
sorry.
About all the reasons why he wants to be president. He doesn't... You think that this man really wants to do good in this country? Tell me that. Tell me the truth of what
he
you think. What do you think he's going...
He
what
wants
do you
not...
think
he...
Go ahead,
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, Trump, the reason why he's running for president, he doesn't want to go to jail, bottom line. That's it.
Right.
Exactly.
That's the bottom line. It's not because he cares about the country. It's not because he cares about the people. It's not about anything else. It's only because he wants his butt out of prison. And he is freaking out. Starting tomorrow, you're going to see him freak out. Because that is going to really expose him for who he is.
Joe, as a Republican, who do you think that Trump would choose as his running mate?
Yeah.
Oh, at this time, I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. But and that's going to be a big part. That's going to be a big part of the.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
I'm sorry, I'm
long.
Are you there?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. There's like, yeah, loud and clear. I don't know. There's something wrong with Block Talk Red, and I haven't seen it.
I know. It's been messing up a lot lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. So South Dakota's Governor Kristi Noem declined to say whether she believes law restricting abortion should be included, exceptions for victims
mm-hmm.
of rape and incest. You know,
mm-hmm.
and she is one of the Trump enablers who, whatever he does or says, she backs him. So I think Trump, she is like probably top priority on his list, somebody who will overshadow him and somebody who will always praise him, you know, and a step in line. You know,
mm-hmm.
she looks like one of those candidates who, you know, who just worship Trump, you know. So I see her or Stefanik as his running mate. Any of those two.
Mm-hmm.
The woman from Georgia, MTG, not so much. She is dumb. Dumber than rocks. I'm sorry. You know, because what she did recently, trying to remove Speaker Johnson, is abhorrent. You know,
mm-hmm.
who do they put in Johnson's place? They don't have nobody qualified. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Johnson's not even, really. But he's crying.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I got a question
so really
here.
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead.
Call to vote for Johnson to be vacated now, and she did the same thing with Santos.
Why can't they do to save mm-hmm. her? Because she's useless.
I
That's
know.
A good question.
I don't know.
I think because her District 14 in Georgia is deep red, and I guess being deep red and gerrymandered, the people who voted and elected her would get upset and not show up, and a Democrat may win the seat, you know? So, I mean, she has power, and she'll have Trump's backing. You know, that's my take on it, really. That they're not,
yeah, I don't know
trying
who he's
going to
choose. Yeah, I don't know who he's going to choose right now, but that would be a major play in how I feel. Now, I'm not a guy that just backs everything Trump does and worships the feet that he grows, I just don't do that. But at the same time, there are many policies that when he was president, I was a small business owner while he was president. I'm just being honest with you. It was the best years that I enjoyed as a small business owner while he was president. You know, whether he had a lot to do with that or not, I don't know. But
he came on the coattails of Obama. Remember? Was it Obama? Wait, am I wrong?
Yeah.
He sure did.
We had a good economy then. Do you remember that? So he was just on
the first 4 years of Obama's, was terrible. 2008, remember the banker bailout. So it was very bad.
But he
It was George Bush's fault.
But what did President Obama do, though? What did he do in 2008? He saved.
Well, I didn't like the banker bailout, I'll tell you that.
He did the bailout for the big three, for Chrysler, GM, and Ford. He bailed them out. That was the best thing he could have done. Because now look at them. They're flourishing. They're making billions of dollars. So he saved the economy. So you have to know that. I mean, you have to understand something, you know, about that.
We discussed this before. You remember, the Federal Reserve really does control a lot of the monetary policies that we have in this country today.
Yeah, it probably does. But what I'm saying to you is that when Trump came in, he was still riding high on the economy. And then what happened? Then we got COVID. And his COVID response was not a good one. I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't.
It was not. It was not a good one. And that's what happened to our country. And this is why it's taken President Biden so long. He has been digging us out. Do you remember, I know my car, I didn't have a little chip that when you back up, you couldn't see when you backed up in your screen in the front. You know, I knew,
yep. mm-hmm.
and I had to contact the chip because there was no chips. Remember that? And then he brought the manufacturing for the chips to America, Biden did. So what I'm trying to say is that President Biden has done a lot, but he is not a man that talks about, that boasts about himself. He does not boast about what he does. He just does his job, keeps his head down, and does his job quietly. And so far, I think he's done a damn good job. I really do. And I am so against Trump, not because he's a Republican. You have to understand that part of it. Because there are good Republicans. I am so against him because he's going to destroy this country, destroy what it was built on. When somebody says that immigrants will poison the blood of this country, that hits my heart because my parents were immigrants, and my parents just came here with nothing, and they worked their butts off, and they lived the American dream. So we can't talk like that.
Well, his comment was directed at illegal immigration. Illegal immigration.
Well,
I'm sure your parents came here legally.
People take those kind of words out of context. They don't think of it that way. They just think, oh, you're an immigrant, so you are, you know, you're not a good person. That's what they do. That is how people think.
There's a lot of prejudices in this country. Yeah, yeah.
Explain in your definition, what makes a person an illegal immigrant?
Well, come on now. That's self-evident. If you come into this country without coming through a port of entry and come here and go through the process of naturalization, becoming a citizen, and you skip that process, that's illegal. You're coming here illegally.
Where does that happen? Explain. Nobody has ever explained what an illegal immigrant is. You can't explain it. Because you are using buzzwords that have been given to you time and time and time again. When a person comes to the border, they are either immigrants or refugees.
No, they are illegal.
They are walking in plain sight.
They are climbing over the fence, under the fence, through holes, through tunnels, being smuggled by these cartels. That's in plain sight.
And they are being processed, aren't they? They are being processed.
I'll tell you who the illegal one would be.
Somebody who would get on a plane, and they would parachute in, and nobody would see them. That's illegal.
Anyone who sneaks into the country is illegal, if you want to put it that way. Anyone who sneaks in here and tries to avoid detection by a border patrol agent.
These people are not sneaking in. We talked about this before. They are coming over with backpacks, with their little kids, and they're desperate people. And we have to have a heart for these people. We have to, again, desperate.
What do you mean by desperate?
I mean, desperate. Well, sure.
They're coming from countries that are not in great shape. But how much can we endure?
We can endure a lot. This country, if these corporations and these billionaires paid their fair share, we would not even have a debt in this country. Do you realize that?
I'm not too sure about that right now.
Explain what's going on right now with the economy. Right now, we have a robust economy, and we have more people employed than we have ever before.
Yeah.
Try to go to some place that usually was the people that were working there were usually green card holders or people seeking asylum, such as restaurants. Lately, you go to a restaurant and you...
What's asylum? Hang on. What's your definition of asylum? Yeah, but before you carry on, what's your definition of asylum? What is your definition of asylum?
I'm not done.
Well, you go to this restaurant
and you can't be seated because they don't have enough help. These are the jobs that the regular so-called Americans, and we're all from immigrants... They aren't employed there now. They've gone on to something else. These immigrants aren't there at those jobs. So you're sitting there in an empty restaurant waiting for the waiters and waitresses to free up to, in order to wait on you.
That is what's happening.
In the entertainment industry, such as restaurants and bars and shows, it was all done by immigrants or green card holders or people who were seeking asylum or people who wanted to become United States citizens. It was their entry job. And now these jobs aren't being fulfilled. The same thing
with your green card. If you have a green card, you're obviously here legally. You're here legally if you have a green card.
Something else to you. When an immigrant comes over here, they have to work their butts off to pay the $5,000 for the filing fees. There is another type of immigrant that comes over here, and that is a job that there is a manufacturer will sponsor them. But the manufacturer has to put out a publication first and offer the jobs to people that are already here in the country. And if those jobs don't get filled, then they can bring somebody over from, as an example, the Philippines. And they pay all the fees, which amounts to anywhere from $5,000 to $6,000 for a green card. And that's a working permit. And that does not make them illegal. A green card does not make them illegal. That is a working permit.
Never said it did. The people that come over here illegally are the people that avoid detection that come over here and don't obtain the proper documents or green card. Those are illegal immigrants.
Where are they? Where are they? You know, President Obama had a sweep in this country, and he was known as the president that deported more illegals than anybody.
That's right. He was.
But he had a sweep. What did Trump do? It was all mouth. He pointed fingers at people who were coming over here legally and made the rest of us tried to make the rest of us hate them. I do not hate these people that are coming over here. I do not hate these people that are crossing the Rio Grande and coming over here. Do you know that those people, 99, 100% of them already filled out their paperwork?
Really?
Yeah,
did,
yeah.
99%
of them. I have been talking to people who have come over here and asked them the process. And it costs a small fortune to come over here.
Yes,
and
it
then
does.
If you want to become, you, and then you can only have a green card for 5 years. And then it has to be renewed. And you know your green card is not renewed if you have gotten into any trouble. Then you are sent home. You are sent back to where you came from.
Deported.
So these people come over here and they obey the law. There's another fallacy.
Really?
Oh, these immigrants come over here and get a driver's license. Well, we don't have mass transit. So they save their money and they get a clunker because the only way they can get to work is with a car. So they have to pass the driver's license. But right away, somebody goes with propaganda and says, oh, that illegal's got a car. No, they are not illegal. They either have a green card or they're working with citizenship.
You're telling me out of all these people, 99.9% of them are going through the process and going to court and doing it the right way? You're telling me
yes,
this?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Oh, my
Lord. Hear me out for a moment.
Your hospitals right now are going to other countries looking for medical people, entry-level medical people, and they will be given a green card after they pass after they're vetted. And you know what vetting means, do you not? After they're vetted, after they're FBI checked, they're fingerprinted. And you have to be fingerprinted and you have to be vetted. You can't come over here being a bad actor, period.
No, you can't. No.
I am so sick of the lies about immigrants and refugees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, those people, if you go to physical therapy, I bet you any money that those people came over here probably 15 years ago, just like the people that are coming over here now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, asylum is not...
Quit buying into the propaganda. I have been going on and doing my research on how the people are coming over here to this country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the proper way of coming here. Yeah. But a lot of them are not.
That's propaganda. They show a picture of people standing in line, getting their paperwork looked at, and they're making up a video saying, look at these illegal immigrants. Then they go into New York and they say, did you just get a driver's license?
Video of them storming the fence.
Are you a citizen? No, but I have a green card. Oh, look at the illegal got a driver's license. Well, how in the hell is that little girl supposed to go to work without a car?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, so
One moment.
I want to say something. Then we're going to drop this because it's a no-win situation. We had a guest on the other night, and he's running for Congress. He's from here, and he had an excellent idea, in my opinion, which I really would have never thought of. He said that what they should do, because he is a former judge, he said that they should probably get about 800 judges down to the border, and start processing these people. Because what's happening is that are so backlogged, 2-3 years of backlog, if they could get 800 judges or 1,000 judges down there that are retired just to come and work for 6 months to a year, they could clean up that backlog and they could fix it off. That's all it would take. And he's
that
a former
part
judge.
Of the border bill.
Yeah.
That was part of the border bill.
Yeah. And that would work. That would work. If you get like 1,000 judges down there that are retired or one that just wants to go work down there, they pay them. They can go through all these people. But there's not enough judges to
to go through.
Well, I'll agree with you on that. But David and Lori, I have to get off of here. I just want to say thank you for having me. It was a good conversation.
Okay,
hopefully
no
we can do it again. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am, Joy.
Take care.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Be safe.
Bye, you too.
Yeah, man, I was Joy in North Carolina. He has a podcast himself on Block Talk Radio. It comes on, I think, every day. Yes, man. So, okay. Kathy, you wanted to ask something?
Yeah, so what do you guys think is going to happen if Trump is convicted before November?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
The result's going to be the same regardless of if he gets convicted, if he loses the election, his supporters are going to go crazy.
Mm-hmm. Let him go crazy. I say let him go crazy.
My biggest fear, Kathy, is that it's going to be violent and bloody still because these people, you know, using immigrants as scapegoats and people who are not like them, white, Anglo-Saxon, Christian, you know, that's going to, you know, run riots and just go after people and shoot people randomly. That's my fear, you know. And already the Trump people are putting in people's minds that, hey, you know, if we lose November, it's because the election was stolen. He did it before in 2016, and it worked, you know. And he did it in 2020, and it worked. And we saw what happened on January 6, 2021, where, you know, his words instigated violence. And for him and Marjorie Taylor Greene and other people in the Crazy Caucus to say, oh, you know, it was a Democrat plant, you know, using the FBI and the Justice Department. Why would Joe Biden, after winning the election, you know, cause a riot and start a riot to make Trump look bad? That's the most ridiculous conspiracy theory I've ever heard in my life. You
that's
know?
All they're full of is conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's ridiculous,
yeah.
These people.
And that MTG, oh my God, she needs to go.
Yeah, I know. She's terrible. She is terrible. Well, that's, the conviction would make him a felon, for one thing.
Good.
Can you be a president if you're a felon?
Apparently, they can be. I don't know. That's ridiculous, too. He shouldn't even be allowed to run.
Okay, it says, if he emerges from the trial a convicted felon, this person said, I don't think that that's going to play well with the independent voters, even though they may not be a huge population, Salzberg said. People will hesitate, I think, before they vote for a convicted felon. Let's hope. Let's hope that's true. I know I would.
I think it's true. I think once they see him handcuffed, you're going to have a percentage of voters say, "I can't." Either they won't go to the polls, or they'll vote for Joe Biden.
But do you really think whoever sees him handcuffed?
You're going to still have your diehards that idolize the golden monster. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a poll that was released earlier this year from Bloomberg and Morning Consult that said 53% of voters in key swing states would refuse to vote for Trump if he were convicted of a crime, and that number has ticked up to 55% if he were sentenced to prison. It says we're in an unprecedented time in American politics, and the courtroom trials are colliding with the campaign trail. Well, that did happen. Well, he did. He was supposed to be, I think, where? North Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Was that yesterday? And then there was a
storm
or something?
Yeah, he was supposed to be there yesterday, but because of the storm, he couldn't travel and everything, and because of the court trial, he couldn't leave.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
People who hate Trump thinks that he did this to throw the book at him. But
mm-hmm.
nobody's above the law, basically. And people that love Trump believe that he should not be charged. He's being persecuted, and you'll
mm-hmm.
continue to see that play out and deepen and engage and enrich on both sides of the aisle. So those in the middle. You know, we'll see what happens because at the same time,
This poll by Yahoo News and YouGov poll found that fewer voters consider the hush money case as serious when compared to the other three criminal the three crimes in which Trump been accused of. So Trump was indicted last year on federal criminal charges related to the mishandling of classified material after the end of his White House tenure, and again over alleged efforts to stay in power after losing the 2020 election. So the Georgia case, for example, he and other defendants have been charged with conspiring to overthrow the 2020 election and the lost state of Georgia. And we're having him on the phone saying that, you know, maybe he can find 11,000 plus votes. So isn't that coercing? Isn't that, you know, trying to, like, threaten a state official to make the elections work in your favor so you can win the state? And there's also one key complication of a conviction that could embarrass Trump in his home state, that is Florida. He may not be able to cast a vote in 2024 if convicted. So it'd be ironic, really, if he wasn't able to vote. And, you know, so half a year out of an election, Trump will have to be in court 4 days a week for as long as the trial runs, forcing his campaign to make the most of weekend events, virtual appearances, and trials, widespread media coverage to boost Trump in the White House race. So President Biden, on the other hand, is free to hit the campaign trail. And that's what he's doing. That's what Kamala Harris is doing. That's what former President Obama doing, and Bill Clinton and what have you. So the incumbents absolutely need to take advantage of what is happening. But Joe Biden will also have to walk careful line as his rivals cry witch hunt, which is not a witch hunt, you know. An acquittal in New York could leave people discontinuing Trump's other case or discounting Trump's other cases, giving him a bigger boost in the 2024 race. It may be sometime before the Manhattan jury makes a decision. A trial is expected to last several weeks, and there's room for legal complications and delays along the way. So it's also a dice roll on how long the jury deliberates. And in the case of a conviction, the judge would have to decide on sentencing. So Democrats hope a long-running trial will clear the winner of Trump's sales and give Biden a chance to show up with support on a campaign trail. You know, so prison time is a sentencing possibility, which I hope he gets. If it was anybody else, they'd get prison time, some serious prison time. If the juror decides to convict, you know, then judge, you know, the judge should sentence him to a hefty jail prison time. And if it happens, it still wouldn't bear Trump. I'll bar Trump from running in 2024, but we'll further hamper his efforts to get back in the White House because, you know, when, as Elaine said, when people say that he's being dragged in bars and chains, you know, they'll be like, oh, okay, no, we can't have a convicted felon as president of the United States, you know? So it's certainly true that being convicted or even being in prison doesn't prevent you from running. But, you know, people will have second thoughts and saying, oh, geez, you know, can I let this criminal be in the White House?
It's unbelievable the support he still has. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But how could he, even if he won the election, how can he be a president from prison and convicted?
Oh. Well, we're not going to go there because We're gonna make sure that Joe Biden is four more years because
guaranteed.
We cannot think in those terms. That would be horrible, just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So
he wants to make himself king. That's the whole thing.
Yeah,
and that's scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Very scary. And people like the Proud Boys and, you know, these white nationalists and, you know, all these evangelical Christians, you know, they're all Trump supporters, but they're all fake people. They're not normal human beings, you know. They're not people that work every single day, try to make money, you know, go with their, you know, for their families and just live their lives, go on a vacation or something and just enjoy their life. These people are not good people. I mean, how can you be considered a good person if you are a Trump supporter? I just, I don't get that. I just don't get that. I don't understand how you can support somebody like him with everything that we know about him. And not everything is, of course, you know, been proven in a court, but we have enough that we know what kind of a man he is. And in comparison to President Biden, there is no comparison.
None.
You can't even put them on the same scale, anywhere near each other, you know. President Biden's a family man. He loves his family. He loves his grandchildren. He's 81 years old, and he still cares about this country. Do you think that he wouldn't mind being, you know, on the beach on the weekend, you know, that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Much like, you know, Trump's been on the golf course every weekend.
That's what I'm saying, you know. You know.
And Biden lives near the beach, so if he wanted to go home to Delaware and go to the beach, he could, but he's got a job to do, and Trump apparently likes golf.
I mean, he liked golf more than he liked doing his job. He never did his job. He never cared about what was happening, even when there was COVID. Oh, it's going to be over in 5 days. This is just some bleach. You know, I mean, that's what he cared about. He didn't care about the people of this country. He never has.
Just another game show to him.
Supporter of a man that does not care for the people of his country.
Mm-mm.
You can't.
Nope.
Unless
he likes himself too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I was born and raised Catholic.
Go ahead. Yeah, there's a certain person in Colorado listening, and, you know, is a member of Congress. I don't know who it is. And this person wants to be on that show.
Okay.
But I don't think we can allow, not because the person is a Republican, but because this person is equivalent to or worse than Marjorie Taylor Greene. I only can't condone that or have somebody like that on the show. I mean, we're glad you're listening. Don't get me wrong. But, no, that's a solid no for me. I don't know about you, Lori, but no. Mm-mm.
No.
We're not going to waste time.
No.
We're not going to waste a solid 2 hours promoting garbage.
And we are here to promote democracy. We are here to promote President Biden for 4 more years. We are here to tell the truth and get facts out and not argue all the time, because it's a waste of time. I appreciate Joe being on tonight, because I think in a way he's looking for answers, and I'm hoping that we've helped him. I'm being cynical, I don't know, but this person, I don't think so. No, can't be changed, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So how about this? The corporate greed increasingly seen as a major cause of inflation. Do you think that's the case?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know,
yes.
What's your take on that?
Absolutely. Corporations are making record profits. And when you make record profits, instead of giving, you know, your executives huge bonuses, you should, especially if you know the American people are, some are struggling, need to get ahead, not be greedy, and lower your prices a little bit. Yeah, 10 cents is not going to kill them. A dollar is not going to kill them. They could do it for 6 months. And you know how many happy people these corporations would have? Many happy people in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the greed. It's not like these corporations are struggling, because they're not.
Mm-hmm.
We know they're not. And, you know, they're not paying their fair share of taxes on top of everything else. So I do think that they are greedy and don't care. And that's the sad part about the whole thing.
So I've got a question here on that, Lori.
Yeah.
Corporations, they give bonuses to their executives. What about the little people that actually make them their money? They get
David knows. Tell her about the trickle down a little bit, David. You're an expert on that.
I wouldn't say expert really, but okay, trickle down economics. Basically, you know, corporations. How can I sum this up? Oh, Lord, trickle down economics. What is trickle down economics? So basically, I'm trying to like put it in layman's terms so a regular listener can like understand. Jesus. Okay, trickle down economics. An explanation. Okay, a definition of trickle down economics is. It refers to an economic policy or policies that disproportionately favor the upper tier of the economic spectrum, and it comprises wealthy individuals and large corporations. So the policies are based on the idea that spending by this group will trickle down and have like a rain effect where to those less fortunate in the form of stronger economic growth, it goes down to them. So from the top down. And the term has been used broadly by critics of supply-side economics to refer to taxing and spending policies by governments that intentionally or not result in a widening income inequality. It has also been used in critical reference to neoliberalism. So, however, the term does not represent any cohesive economic theory. Similarly, criticisms have existed since the late 19th century through the term trickle-down economics was popularized in the United States in reference to supply-side economics and the economic policies of Ronald Reagan. And before that, Calvin Coolidge, he could be seen as the father of modern-day trickle-down economics. We'll have the Roaring Twenties, where there was no regulation, there was no price guideline for anything, and, you know, the corporations were just making a killing. And a major example of what critics have called trickle-down economics in the United States include the Reagan tax cuts, the Bush tax cuts, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, and we can go further, like in the United Kingdom, an example is former Prime Minister Liz Truss' mini-budget tax cuts of 2022, while economists who favor supply-side economics generally avoid applying the trickle-down analogy and dispute the focus on tax cuts to the rich, the phrase trickle-down has also been occasionally used by proponents of such policies. So as of 2023, studies have shown studies have not shown that there's a demonstrable link between reducing tax burdens on the upper end and the economic growth. So, you know, trickle-down economics, you know, when these people get trickle-down economics, that, you know, they get tax cuts, what to do? Because Indonesia or whatever third world country have no trade unions and they have no workers' rights and everything, it is cheaper for them to go over there and they don't have to pay any taxes to the United States government because it's registered in another country. So they're banking all that money, putting in offshore accounts and everything, you know, so it's not helping the people of the United States in terms of having jobs, having health care, having labor unions. You know, so it's killing America's economy. And that is the bad effects of trickle-down economics. It has never worked during Herbert Hoover days or Calvin Coolidge days, and it sure as hell didn't work in Ronald Reagan's days. We're feeling the effects of Reaganomics now. And, you know, we need to kill it outright. And I think Bidenomics is trying to do that, you know, being inclusive. You know, why is it that when President Eisenhower was president, you know, he taxed corporations up to 75%? Now it's down to 28% thanks to Reagan and Reaganomics and that trickle-down economic bullshit that never worked. You know, trickle-down economics started the Great Depression, Herbert Hoover. You know, he didn't believe in regulations. just like his predecessor, Calvin Coolidge. I saw how it wrecked the U.S. economy back then. So if something didn't work back then, why should it work now? And that's the Republicans and the voters who vote Republican fail to, like, understand that trickle-down economics will never win. It's nonsense. You know, and the trickle-down you feel is not economic, you know, prosperity falling down on you. Basically, it's the rich and corporate people pissing on you. That's what you're feeling. So trickle-down economics is total and absolute hogwash and garbage. It's an abomination, really.
You know, it's like, it's like a, think of an apple tree that's full of apples. I mean, it is full in bloom, full of apples, you know, and those apples are not being watered. The apples are the employees. They're not being watered. So what they're doing is they're just falling off the tree and they're dying because they're not being watered. In other words, they're not being given enough money to think of the apples as people, and they're not enough. It's not enough money because they're just being not given water. Water is money. You know, I guess that's the analogy. I'm trying to get that made any sense. Just they're not. They're taking, that's greed. How else can we put it? That's the simplest way to put it. Trickle-down economics is greed. Pure, altered greed. That's all it is. And
yes, it is.
They're not, you know, they don't want to share with their employees because they have, you know, things to buy and themselves, basically, and make themselves richer and not have to pay taxes, and it keeps going around in a circle, and that needs to be stopped. And it's just like not watering a tree. It will eventually die. That's it.
I work for one of them greedy people right now.
Pardon?
I work for one of them greedy people right now. He has, at last count, 30 stores. He pays nothing but minimum wage, and that's only because he's forced to, because it keeps going up. But he won't give you a raise for another year.
Yeah, that's just, that's terrible. You know,
one of his stores can make $95,000 in 1 week in February off of Interstate 75 in Alachua County. And that's just one of his stores, not the other 30.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he can afford to treat his employees better and to pay them more, and they would be happier. And you know what? He went and made $130,000 in 1 week if you have happy employees that do their job. You know what I'm saying?
I get you there.
And they're willing to go that extra mile because Costco, that's exactly what Costco's motto is. They treat their employees well. They pay them well. And Costco is flourishing because of that. And that's a well-known fact. You can look it up. So, it's greed. He's greedy. That's all. He's just thinking about himself. And that does not work in the long run. It doesn't work.
And another thing about trickle-down economics is that, you know, these corporations buy back their own stock. And the idea is to, like, hire more people, pay them more money and everything, but that's not happening. You know, the reverse is happening, where they get bonuses when they buy back these stocks and everything, so they can buy private jets, you know, and private whatever, and just live a lavish lifestyle while everybody is suffering. A perfect example of that, a trickle-down economics, is Walmart, you know?
Hate Walmart.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the cross of
my definition of trickle-down economics. Trickle-down economics, it happens to be the big lie. It's a propaganda statement. You tell people enough times that the economics is going to trickle down to you, and they start believing it. I mean, I'm putting it in layman's terms. It's a big, big lie. There is nothing trickling down to you.
No.
Just pee. We're peeing on you, basically.
Yeah.
It's a play on words. Definitely a play on words. The only way you're going to get to share in the pie is you have to become a union in a lot of companies. You have to become a union. If it's a big company, you better get a union.
Why?
By the way, Volkswagen, finally, they are union.
Yes, they are. That's awesome.
Fantastic. That's the only way you're going to get anything to trickle down to you is you have to become a union. You have to make the big guy at the top realize that without labor, they have no profit.
That's right.
If you can't, if your grass can't look nice unless somebody cuts it. Can't have a successful automobile industry unless somebody is making those cars.
That's right.
You can't have a successful clothing store unless somebody is making those clothes. And the list goes on and on. It's labor.
Exactly. My husband is a lifelong union member.
Back in 1896, the Democratic presidential nominee, former congressman from Nebraska, William Jennings Bryan, he gave a great speech, the Cross of Gold speech. I want people listening, look up that speech. And he delivered it at the Chicago Convention of 1896. And he supported free silver, which he believed that would bring the nation, you know, better economic prosperity and everything. And this is an excerpt from the speech, and I quote William Jennings Bryan: "There are two ideas of government. There are those who believe that if you just legislate to make well-to-do prosperous, that their prosperity will leak through those and those below. The democratic idea has been that if you legislate to make the masses prosperous, your prosperity will find its way up and so through every class that rests upon it." You know, so it turns out that the father of modern-day liberalism, William Jennings Bryan, was correct, you know. But at that time, there's this, that's when it started, the whole, you know, socialism, because socialism was at the height of America back then as well. I can't remember, Eugene Debs was during that time as well, right up to the 1920s. You know, where socialism was, that was like the highest point of socialism in America. And so when William Jennings Bryan said that, you know, people were saying, oh, he's a damn socialist, you know. And, you know, if we had William Jennings Bryan as president of the United States, you know, back in 1896, then where would America be? No. Because his policies, you know, were so, you know, like before his times, basically. He was thinking ahead of the curve, you know, and I think he was a genius. He was one of the people who should have been president, but was never elected president because of this whole socialism scare, which is nonsense. And the Republicans still continue it. Oh, socialism! You know, William McKinley was a Republican who ran against him and beat him, unfortunately. You know, so... Yeah, it's sad that, you know, these little, what's the word we call for it now? You know, this the propaganda and the stump speeches that last, like, let us take out little excerpts from it. There's a particular word for it. Sound bites. Yeah, sound bites. William Jennings Bryan. Oh, socialism. We can't have socialism in America. Socialism is evil. And what William Jennings Bryan was saying was not socialism. He was for benefiting the majority, the masses. You know, I saw how William McKinley was a corrupt piece of shit. And one of his former supporters shot and killed him. And Theodore Roosevelt, the reckless cowboy, took over as president. We need more Theodore Roosevelt. We need more Bernie Sanders. We need more, you know, people who genuinely have the interests of the majority, the masses, you know? And when you use certain words like masses and everything, you know, people think, oh, you know, you're talking like a socialist. No, you're talking fact, you're talking reason, you know?
Yep.
What I digress.
Absolutely. Yep. You're right. Absolutely right. You know, Walmart is... I think they've gotten beaten up a little bit, and you know they they pay their employees now, you know, better than they did. But I know a few years they weren't paying their employees, you know, enough money, and they had to still have be on Medicaid, you know, because they couldn't afford to live.
And it's still subsidized.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I'm saying.
And
yes, and it's wrong. You know, so these corporations are basically, you know, when they say, you know, they are really the welfare queens, these corporations. They are the true welfare queens because they use the system to get rich. Basically how it work, how they're, what they're doing.
Yeah, man, yeah, man. Okay, it was a decent show tonight. And so how long do you think the trial will last? We'll have about 4 minutes. Everybody, short answer. How long do you think this trial will last?
Well, they said 3 to 4 weeks. Well, you know, what's funny is they thought that the jury, just picking the jury, was going to take 2 to 3 weeks. That's what they thought, just picking the jury alone. He went through that in a week. I couldn't believe it. Even, you know, the what do they call those ones that the temporaries or whatever they're called?
Alternate jurors.
Yes. Even them. I mean, he took those in no time. So this judge is going to move along because he realizes, I think, that time is of the essence, and Jack Smith is chomping at the bit, and he wants to, you know, turn. And like we all do. So I think it's going to move right along. And it'll be very interesting. I'm just glad it's not on TV. I mean, I would... that would be something to watch.
Okay, Elaine and Kathy, you know, how long do you think this trial will last? Do you think...
Oh, I don't know.
Victim?
I have no way of guesstimating it. I just want them to do a good job and let justice be served.
I
totally agree with Elaine.
It's
hard to tell.
No, it is. You know, we don't know, you know, what the defense has, and so we shall see. It's going to be really interesting, you know, weeks or however long. You're right.
I'm guessing they don't have much since they keep trying to delay the trial.
Yeah, he tried yesterday.
I'm just sick of this man. I want this man to go out of our lives, for real. You know, and make sure if you're in the courtroom, the Donald Trump trial, make sure you bring a gas mask. I hear he's been fragging on the place like there's no tomorrow. You know, I don't want to buy a pass out on, you know, the justice orders that's been going on. You know?
Well, maybe the trial will go faster because of the smell.
Maybe it's a delay tactic on the Trump team part. You know, like, oh, we want a delay because Trump keeps farting on the place. Yeah, he's not a healthy man. You know, I can't begin to imagine, you know, the smell of those farts. You know, and does he drop the SBDs, or is it loud and you know, people can hear it from outside? I mean, good Lord, geez, you know? And then he's falling asleep. That's not a sign of a healthy person, you know, fall asleep, you know? And he's worried about Joe Biden not being cohesive and coherent, please. You don't drop dead Trump, and I hope you stop him before you drop dead. Please.
Yep.
I want to thank everybody. Kathy in Florida, in Michigan, and Joe Gibson from North Carolina. And special shout out to Mary in Colorado. I want to thank everybody for listening. Remember to tune in. We're on every Sunday, Monday, and Thursday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Visit our website, kitchenparty23.com. We'll have great recipes. We'll have blog articles. We'll have so much things to offer on that website. I hope you tell your friends about it. And we appreciate the international listeners and callers as well. Until Thursday night, same time, same place. This has been Block Talk Radio for April 21st, 2024. And tomorrow, what's happening tomorrow?
Monday.
Oh, yes, we'll be back tomorrow again, Monday, 9:30.
All right,
I'm David
Monday,
Franklin. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David. Good night, everyone. Thank you all. And we'll see you tomorrow night. Bye now.
Good night, Kathy. Good night, Lori. Good night, David.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
I'm low.